breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Doug McVeigh, Cliff Verla, and Jim Thompson. Our engineer, Sequoia Wright. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. Oregon, you can call Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number if you're interested in contacting your elected officials about any issue you've heard on tonight's news. Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Jared Dantzler.
And I'm Nicole Weinstock. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! News magazine hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Wednesday Talk Radio with host Paul Roland. Join us for a special two-hour edition focusing on the Resistance Ecology Conference coming up this weekend at PSU. Paul's guests are two of the conference organizers, Tim and Melanie. Also, Canahas Manuel of Sekwebek Nation in northern BC. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, local news hosted by Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on The Dirtbag, host Glenn Anderson and guest Jim Gilbert discuss glacial rock dust and how it pertains to remineralizing your garden soil. The Dirtbag, listen, laugh, learn. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
And stay tuned for KBOO's News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You're listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and today we take a deeper look at a class offered to the community through the Portland Underground Graduate School entitled Portland's Urban Native Americans, What You Need to Know to Be an Ally. The class will meet Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Southeast Uplift, that's 3534 Southeast Main Street, from June 10th through July 1st. And if you missed the first opportunity, the class will meet again, same time and place, but from July 8th through the 29th. Well, I'm joined in the KBOO studios by Kristen Dupree, who is instructor and the creator of the class, and also by Ashley Thurstrup, who is director of youth services at Native American Youth and Families Center. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Let's start by talking about why did you feel there was a need for this class in the Portland community? What compelled you to design the class?
Well, I think that first, the huge and often invisible Native population in Portland, at 41,000 and growing in PDX. That's a sizable population. And folks still believe, I think by and large, that Native people are on reservations and they're not certain. I also think that, however well-meaning, they have a certain idea of what Native people look like, what they might behave like, how they sound, and we're incredibly diverse. So the other thing is the general population is simultaneously kind of fascinated, and I'm wondering if Ashley finds this too, very interested, but also ignorant. And it's it's not a bad combination. It's a combination that's full of possibility, but it's tricky, and it's so a class seemed necessary. Mm-hmm. And also, I worked at the Native American Youth and Family Center for a number of years, and I worked in community engagement and development. And NEA is a great champion for urban Native people mm-hmm. and Native people nationwide. And that information, that sort of work to advocate, really stuck with me. And I wanted another opportunity to advocate somehow.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, would you comment? Was it also your experience?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting community here in Portland, a very resilient community. There's over 380 tribes here, and I think a lot of people don't always know that. They don't necessarily think of Portland as being Indian country, and it really is. Many people came here because of relocation, because their own reservation lands were terminated and they were forced off, and they've really made it their homes here. However, there's still a lot of room for advocacy and a lot of need for advocacy in this community. For example, it's an interesting place to live where white people are earning about $3,500 over the national average, while Native American people are still earning about $1,000 less per year yeah. per capita. And so if you think about it, they're taking a financial hit by living in Multnomah County. So those of us who are non-Native have an obligation to also learn about the community and advocate where we can.
Mm-hmm. And so, Christine, what would someone learn when they attend this class?
Well, they might learn that 66% of Native people live off reservation. Mm-hmm. And the class will be balanced between learning about contemporary urban Native American experiences and the history that's behind those experiences, because it doesn't occur in a vacuum. And then the class will also, like, folks in the class are going to be really busy defining sorts of oppression and bias. I don't think you can assume as an instructor that anyone in the room shares a similar vocabulary or sometimes any vocabulary when it comes to racism and oppressions. So building that vocabulary in common, and then finally creating some practices for being an ally and also a shared language in common for being an ally, as well as learning about what urban Portland Native Americans are doing in the city and how structural racism yet impacts them. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot.
Talk a little bit, Chris, about who should take the class, or who do you think would benefit most?
I put any or thought about that any and all people who want to learn more about PDX, Native American history and present, including Native American people themselves, and folks who want to be better allies and gain a vocabulary for understanding oppression and also thinking about justice and how that might look on the ground. Mm-hmm. So
the class is really about educating and sharing the information. Talk a little bit about what's the downfall for folks not really understanding the unique characteristic of the Native urban population. Ashley, would you go?
Sure. Yeah. The question we get a lot is, are we funded by casino dollars? And don't all Native Americans have access to those resources? And so I think there's a lot of stereotypes out there about the Native community here. And I'll just break that stereotype right now for our listeners that is not true. In fact, you know, much of the community is struggling in some ways, although it's very, very resilient. People are amazing and strong and powerful advocates, and they have their own stories to tell as well. And I'm so glad that Chris is doing this class so that people can start to learn. I think everyone's experiences are very different. Their tribal practices are different. Their histories are different. Having over 380 tribes here in the Portland area, you have people from the plains, you have many tribes from Montana, we have Alaska Natives here, and we have local tribes as well. And I think understanding that it's a diverse community, but one that aligns very well when it comes to advocacy and collectively making impact is really powerful too.
That's great. That's really strength-based, and I appreciate that a lot. And it's also true that the community is impacted across those 380 tribes disproportionately in systems of foster care, adversely, health systems, systems of mental health care, education. And I do want to end more with Ashley's positive note, which is it's an incredibly resilient, diverse, active community that has managed a lot despite history and circumstance. And I'd say you asked what, in our opinion, were the possible downfalls of the Portland community not understanding the unique characteristics of Native people. And I'd say just generally that people simply aren't provided enough opportunity to discover how racism works, period. Mm-hmm. And specifically with Native people of this soil, from this land, even though they're from all over the United States. And also to think critically around important issues. And when you can't do that, or you're shamed into silence, then the danger is that you, even if you're well-intentioned, because of implicit bias and because of the way that structural racism operates, you unwittingly keep racism going by remaining ignorant. And then the other thing is that Portlanders feel themselves, by and large, to be very progressive and liberal, and just by virtue of standing on Portlandia soil. And I think that, and I would include myself, that we can get a little smug about that, and then that we miss out. We really, everyone, including myself, can stand to be better educated, especially in issues of race. And I can't wait to teach about, you know, what I know. I'm not a gatekeeper and I'm not the sole authority, but what I know about Native American populations here.
And I appreciated the importance of pointing out the resilience. I feel that at times, folks that are not part of the Native communities and who are maybe a little bit educated about some of their historic facts and tragedies tend to kind of think that the white community should save them, the natives, right? Which is why I think it's so important, right, to talk about, you know, the 500 years of resistance at the same time as the genocide. Yeah.
And I think that's a really key piece to becoming an ally, that it's not even necessarily that it's not a term you can identify for yourself, really. I mean, it's something that the community has to define for you. It's really up to us to highlight the strengths and build up the people, you know, the indigenous people, to advocate for themselves and to help them maybe where they don't have a voice, but not to co-opt traditions and religious practices. And there's a difference between supporting artisans versus potentially co-opting cultural practices in terms of arts as well.
How do you hope, Chris, to start the conversation around becoming allies?
Well, that's a tough question to start the conversation, because I do feel like there's those levels of educating, making sure we have a vocabulary for being allies in common and some shared ideas of bias. But I want the class to be experiential, so that that itself gets people into considering some of the complexities that Ashley brings up. So, for example, each class member will have a chance to dig deeply into an area of interest that connect to their present circumstances, and then connect that to Native people and structural racism. So, for example, if you're interested in foster care, you'll be doing reports on Baby Jessica and the Indian Child Welfare Act. You'll be looking at boarding schools, and then you'll be expected to take that back to class and to talk to the class about what it is you've learned. And then I'll have sort of dialogic and inquiry questions around that for you as the presenter, and the class will as well. And the class will also be innovative. I have what I call a bias bingo sheet for
and
you and prizes. If you fill out your bias bingo sheet each week, you have really cool prizes. And then finally, to build skill sets in interrupting racism, we'll be doing sort of modified theater of the oppressed or role playing, where I've drawn up scenarios from my own life and from friends' lives, and just short little vignettes. And then people, please do come to class. Don't let me scare you away. It's going to be super fun. People will be enacting those vignettes and scenarios, and then kind of spontaneously reacting or responding in new ways than they otherwise might.
And so, Christine, this is part of the Portland Underground Grad School. And so if you could talk a little bit about the concept of what this is and the importance, really, of making important information available and affordable. Kind of, is this popular education? Or is that what you're offering here?
I think so. The Portland Underground Grad School is about participating in community-based education. And the thing about it is the classes are by and large affordable. You don't need credentialing to step into a class. And yet you can, right? So you don't have to have a GPA. You don't have to pay a ton of money to attend. You can join any old class you like, and no one's going to cast you out. You just get to come in and be part of a community that's hungry to learn. I've actually taken PUGS classes, and they're very fun. Mm-hmm. And I've learned a lot. I took a privacy and law class, for example. So I was told by Douglas Tsoi, who is the founder of Portland Underground Grad School, to go online at pugspdx.com and take a poll, because there's a whole bunch of classes listed there, and you can decide which classes you would like to take. And based on consumer or response demand, he'll kind of design or get classes and recruit for those classes.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And I think your question about, is it popular education? I think a big component of popular education is creating advocacy points, right? And understanding that education happens on all levels. And so in that way, this class is exactly popular education, because we hope that everybody that takes it joins up and helps advocate for the urban Native community in their own way.
That is a hope for the class.
Thanks, both of you, for joining us. Again, the Portland's Urban Native Americans, What You Need to Know to Be an Ally class will meet Wednesdays 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Southeast Uplift. That's 3534 Southeast Main Street, from June 10th through July 1st, and again from July 8th through the 29th. More information, www.pugspdx.com. For KBOO News in Depth, I'm Delphine. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock. Next is Out Loud. Very special episode tonight. Make sure to tune